the body is not designed to exist beyond the Earth's edge. Fundamental aspects of human biology will need to change.
How do those concepts strike you? And what about a training regime that prepares you for life in a space colony? Or a machine that provides a warm, nourishing hug? Or a perfume that you swallow and then sweat out? Well, they're not just ideas, but they're projects from the artist Lucy McRae, who aims to address the needs of our future human bodies. It's a future where we can live on Mars, where teeny-weeny robots swim through our bloodstream, and, according to Lucy, where we live with a lot less human touch. Lucy explores these ideas through striking films, photography and invention. She now lives and works in Europe, and she's about to open her first survey exhibition at the National Gallery of Victoria. Lucy, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So it's a little bit hard to describe the type of artist you are, because so much of the stuff that you do is working with ideas that are ahead of our now. So how would you describe your practice?
I call myself a body architect and science fiction artist, and I build worlds object by object that contemplate who we are and where we're headed. And the mediums can take the form of installation, film, or future products.
Okay, that's very, very clear. Thank you. I mean, that's definitely an excellent elevator pitch. But how did it come about? I mean, it's a very unusual place to be as an artist. How did it begin?
I felt quite alien at school and very comfortable doing classical ballet. I did French Cicchetti for 14 years. And when I wasn't behind the ballet bar, I was running 100 metre hurdles. So these two disciplines were very much about pushing the physical limits of my body. And now, upon reflection, that childhood of questioning my purpose and who we are and what are we doing here, and pushing the physical limits of the body around human performance and optimizing the body, these are the two themes that continue to drive my work.
Yeah. So Lucy, I was wondering about your job. So you worked for a while at the electronics company Philips, which one would think is a strange place to work for an artist. But what was your role there?
That's actually where the term body architect was first fabricated. I went for an interview to run a Far Future Design Research Lab at Philips and struggled to explain that I wasn't one particular discipline. I wasn't a graphic designer. I wasn't a product designer, that I was a hybrid. And I actually was turned away from the job because I couldn't explain who I was.
Great.
And the following week after, brainstorming with my boss at the time, I sort of looked at my background and what I had been working in fashion, interior, architecture, graphic, and as a dancer, and knocked on the door of the human resources department the following week and said, "I've come to tell you who I am." So I sat down and I said, "I'm a body architect." And he slid the contract across the table. And the following week, I was rolling around the floor in a Lycra sack on top of a Swiss ball, which, bringing the ballet and the kind of energy around my childhood of movement into informing silhouettes, that was exploring emotional sensing. And this department looked at the future 15 to 20 years ahead, and we were trying to understand how new technologies would likely yield new business for Philips.
Okay, can we do a little bit of backtracking? What is emotional sensing?
Emotional sensing, we were trying to track rates of change. So what happens when you blush? What happens to your skin when it shivers? And actually, at that time, this was 2006, we couldn't sense emotions directly. We had to rate, or we had to sense five different things. We looked at pupil dilation, we looked at heart rate, muscle memory, and these were technologies that were being placed into artworks, and we created a series of fashion collections. The barbell used heart rate sensors and this textile screen around the body, and as the wearer became anxious or excited or aroused, you would see these animations on the dress around her. And frisson was a textile that emulated a shiver. So you blew into a hand sensor and the whole textile would light up with these tiny hairs.
So you're working as a body architect, but now your own description is a science fiction artist. Is it a transformation of yourself, or is it simply a continuum of your work?
Each project I collaborate with a scientist or a synthetic biologist, and it's about telling stories about the future based on real science. And I'll do that by physicalizing very complex science like genetic engineering, CRISPR technology, and being able to tell a story around the idea or around the fact that now we are able to deliberately modify life. We are designing the human body from scratch. And so what does that look like? Is that a pair of molecular scissors that can cut and replace faulty DNA?
Yeah, now certainly one of your more sort of, I suppose, shocking things in a way is the swallowable perfume. Now, I thought that we already had one of those that was called garlic.
Yes. Swallowable perfume is the concept of a cosmetic pill that works from the inside out. And as you perspire a genetically enhanced fragrance. The inspiration came from the idea or the reality that technology is shrinking and it is becoming the size of a blood cell. Once technology enters our body, what does it do? What do we do when we can eat technology? And does the body become technology? That was one area that I was exploring.
Something else that really strikes me about your work, and I have to say slightly horrifies me, and in a way it's kind of opposite to this idea of perfume and pheromones and linking people through your art, but you've been talking and working around the idea of the Institute of Isolation. What is that and why is that?
The Institute of Isolation is a research and training ground seen through a 9.5-minute film that looks at how will we need to condition the body if we are going to exit Earth and colonize new planets. Our body is not designed to exist in permanent weightlessness. We are designed to exist on Earth. And the space economy, Elon Musk's mission for SpaceX is to colonize Mars. How are we as a human species preparing us, conditioning our bodies, our minds, our entire beings to exist off Earth? So the Institute of Isolation is composed of 11 different rooms that the protagonist, which is played by myself, takes her body through these different chambers, an anechoic chamber where there is no echo, no shadow of a sound. It's completely silent. Is that what we need to do to train our bodies? Oh. A microgravity trainer, which is how the astronauts in the 60s used to train their bodies. And what I'm interested in doing is using space as an interface to be able to project our being that far ahead, but advance ourselves as a society now. And we are more advanced as a society by going to space. We have wireless vacuum cleaners, baby food, memory foam mattresses are all byproducts of going to space. And so if we imagine how we might optimize the body for a future in space, then what will this mean to living on Earth now? Mm. And the kind of overarching theme is to hover the imagination and to ask questions and to really build worlds that speculate on the future and where we may be headed.
As you were saying that thing about the anechoic chamber where there is simply no sound, it reminds me of ways of torture, that's essentially sensory deprivation.
Yes, I can see the parallel that you're drawing.
Yeah, so I don't know, I just kind of see this future, and in some ways, do you find it horrifying or do you find it moving towards a better way of living?
I think there's real power in spending time by yourselves. Spending time alone, it's very difficult. Time is so hard to carve out. There's a project that Red Bull did called Project Icarus, where they took four elite athletes to the edges, the kind of extremes of their skills, their physical capabilities. They scanned their brain before and 10 days after, and they saw that by putting their body through extreme physical exercise and experiences, the resilience in their brain changed and they were more resilient when faced with fear. Mm. And so this isolation or this design of physical experience may be a way to prepare us for our future of uncertainty and to be more buoyant when we are faced with things that we aren't sure of. And I believe now that we live in unprecedented change. The fourth industrial revolution is a concept where in 5 years' time, we will see no difference between what is physical, what is digital, and what is biological. So that could be biological is our body, physical is a laptop, and digital is the internet.
In how many years' time?
5 years.
5 years.
This is human convergence at such an extreme bandwidth. And this concept is from Klaus Schwab, the founder of the World Economic Forum.
Yeah.
And he says that we have no idea. It is unfathomable how this will change our lives. And so it is uncertain. Our future is uncertain. And so the Institute of Isolation is really looking at this uncertainty and saying, how do we prepare ourselves for a future that is uncertain?
Yeah. Look, Lucy, I do Vipassana meditation where, you know, you sit in silence for sort of 10 days and don't talk and look inside your body. And I'm going to go and meditate after this interview and just have a really good think about this. This is extraordinary ideas. Just the final question, which of your works, your speculative works, do you believe is the closest to reality?
I've recently done a project called the Compression Cradle, which is a machine that hugs you 360 degrees. And I believe that we live in a world where we are so inundated with information technology, digital devices, and that we are having less physical contact with ourselves, with our communities. And so could we imagine in the future that technology will vie for our affection? And in 2016, The Guardian released an article that we are headed towards a touch crisis. Mm. And so perhaps having domestic machines at home that hug us may be the way that we become more connected back with other people. It's a long bow, but I believe that we really need to look at how we can physicalize technology and make people connect back to themselves. Mm. And if I can do that through physically impacting people at galleries, through immersive experiences, then that is my way of asking these really important questions.
Lucy, thank you for coming onto The Art Show. You have certainly given me a huge amount to think about, and I would love to book you in. That's if, you know, I'm here, the ABC is here, The Art Show is here. I'd love to book you in 5 years' time to see where we are.
I would love to come back.
Great. Thank you so much,
Lucy.
Thank you
for having me.
Thank you. Lucy McRae, yes, artist who ventures across many futuristic terrains, and her first survey exhibition, Lucy McRae Body Architect, opens at the NGV Australia in Melbourne this week, and it's free. That's right. The future, apparently, it's free.